pathways to joy.
We're always in a struggle. We're struggling for our memory. That's really what it comes down to. We're struggling for memory. We want to remember. We remember. It's like we're, you know, we're afflicted with these memory problems. And we have to sort of get back to remembering, you know. We have to remember. We forget, like, the most important things, you know. Comes Yom Kippur, comes a special day, and we're like, wow, this is amazing. We want to change. We want everything to be different. And then, one day later, yeah. There actually are a lot of Yom Kippurs. There is a Girsa, seemingly from Rashi. It's brought down the name of Rashi in an old manuscript. It's not a Rashi we have anywhere. That Rosh Chodesh Kislev, being that it's 40 days after Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, is a little kind of miniature second chance for Yom Kippur. That's for your information. So you can really do a lot of tshuva. You can change a lot of things with that. And we can try to get our memory back. Kislev actually represents also we're slumbering, we're asleep. We're fast asleep. There's the sense of sleep. It's what a person is sleeping his whole life for, basically. Like, unfortunately, most of our special modern generation, we have these special tools that help us do that. Without any, you know, painlessly, you know, we don't have any pain. It doesn't bother us. We're just busy with all sorts of stuff, all sorts of things. You don't even notice the time flying away. So I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You didn't do this, you didn't do that. You just did other things. What happened? I don't know what happened.
You mean Twitter, Facebook?
Yeah, all this stuff. Internet, yes, exactly.
iPhones,
all this
TV.
No, it's endless. It's endless, endless, endless. It's really, totally endless. It's amazing. So here we are. We need to get our memory back. We need to have light, illumination. It's such a beautiful illumination in this world. It's so shining. It's so wonderful. Rebbe says you can get the greatest gift of it. You don't even have to put any outlay. You just have to be present and do your best. It's so easy. It's not hard. So how do we get this back? How do I get this back? So Rav Nosson says one of the ways you get this back, one of the ways of being aware of Hashem is being aware of other people. He said, when I'm aware of other people and I'm careful not to hurt anyone, very careful not to harm anyone. So that in and of itself has the power to bring you back to light, bring you back to remembering Hashem in my life. So that's a tremendously powerful thing. Not to harm anyone, not to blemish anyone. Because it has to do with his nefesh, it has to do with his life force. I have to be very careful to always restore. Risto Slanta was a very big proponent of this. He one time, it was actually a Hanukkah story, actually. I don't remember if we spoke about it. I don't think so. I don't know. But one time, he told his wife, it's Hanukkah. He said, no, I'm bringing a menorah and candles. Why? You're going to a town, what is it, 10 miles away, whatever. Like, what's the big deal? 20 miles away, like, hey, wagon driver. He said, no, it looks like it might get rainy, it might sleet, I don't know how the roads are. Could be, I'll be stuck there. If I'm stuck there, I'm not going to, you know, be stuck there all night and not have a menorah. Go, what do I do? Go trying to find one in the evening in Europe in the freezing cold? It doesn't make any sense. I'll just bring one from home. And the driver went there and, you know, unfortunately, like he said, things happened. The wheel broke or something happened. And he started to think. He said, you know, we're stuck here this whole night. Maybe my saying, maybe we could be stuck here. Maybe that did it. Like, I don't even know. Who knows? Because in Sfarim it says sometimes a person says something and it happens because he said it. So he paid the wagon driver for all the extra time. He's like, I'm afraid maybe I did it. And he lit his Hanukkah nearest, but he paid the wagon driver. He said, I should have just said, no, it's better to be safe. Better safe than sorry. Something simple like that. I shouldn't have said, what if we get caught? I shouldn't have said that. He's very, very careful. He had somebody who was paid to be with him. He was very, very, he was ill. At the end of his life, frail. And he started to talk to him, one of his students was there, he started to talk to him, you know, there's no reason to be afraid for someone who's dead. So there's nothing to be afraid of. So when someone's like a tough customer and a rough kind of guy and he's alive, that you can be afraid of. But a dead person, like, what's the big deal? What, you know, no big deal. You don't have to worry, you should know, there's no reason to be afraid, no reason to fear. So it's just like, what is it like? Very strange. You have a guy sleeping in your room, taking care of you, start talking to him, like starting a conversation, you don't have to worry about a dead person. So he said, it's very simple. He said, I don't know when my time is going to be. No, he has to stay with me because that's part of his job. He can just disappear. He needs you to do that, especially in those times. You need to watch a dead body. It shouldn't be, you know, there are mice around, there are things around. It's not so good to leave a dead body around. They're protected. So someone needs to be protecting the body. So he said, so he'll stay, but I'm afraid that he'll be worried and frightened. So I don't want to be afraid. So I sort of tell him, you don't have to worry. I want him to feel he feels he'll be comfortable. Because I myself told him, what's the big deal? So he's thinking in terms of not hurting someone after he dies. Like, people who are really connected, you try to connect to not only, there's no way to connect to Hashem without being connected to other people as well. It doesn't really work. It's not real. Because it's all one. You destroy all the rice, it's going to be chachad. We have to be connected to Torah, we have to connect to Hashem, we have to connect to fellow Jews. If not, something missing, something very integral. There's like a disconnect there that has to be fixed. Something messed up. Just like any other things are missing. A person can be connected to his fellow man, it can be connected even to Torah maybe, and not connect to Hashem. That's not so good. He'd be connected to Hashem, a fellow man, and not Torah. It's also not so. There's something missing. There's something integral missing. Let's try to make sure we have all three pillars, have it together. And one of those pillars is Gnes Chasadim, right? You have Torah, Avodah, Gnes Chasadim. Avodah is Hashem, connected to Hashem. Torah is, of course, Torah. And Gnes Chasadim has to do with being connected to other Jews. That's all very simple. Everything you're thinking, trying to help someone else. So that's the first thing. In terms of getting out of the darkness, where a person is depressed and down because he's got this nice darkness, and he forgets. I forget that Hashem is here with me. I forget. I don't remember. I don't remember that this is really illumination. That this is all for a good reason, right? Like oil, you squeeze out the oil, it comes out the oil comes out, right? It's supposed to illuminate, it's supposed to shine. When I feel squeezed, I'm supposed to shine, it helps me shine, right? I forget all that. It's just, I know that. Someone else is having a hard time, I say, don't worry. But like when it's me, it's very hard. Why is it hard? Because I'm dark. Because I'm not connected. I have to be connected. That's the first thing today's Pastor to Joy. That's the way with Bali Musa especially. And then, every person, the Rebbe, this is a story I think I did mention, I remember that once he came with Rav Nassim to some person's sukkah, and he's telling you, look how much he worked hard, we decorated it so nicely, it's so beautiful. And the sukkah, it was a little smallish. There was like a question, a halachic question in the sukkah. So Rav Nassim turns to the Rebbe, he's like, there's a pesach shayla here. So the Rebbe just shut him up. Shut him right up. And when they finally left, he said, listen, you fellow Jew worked so hard to make a sukkah. It's not like totally not kosher. There's a problem with it. How can you tell him such a thing? You have to know who he is. You have to know how to say. You can't just like hit him with that. Like you're going to ruin his Yom Tov. So there are opinions that say it's okay. It's not like it's total. It's not like it's, he's not he have a roof over his head. He did his best. He didn't know that it's true. You can't just like shoot off at him like that. People they don't even have any. So you're done. Boom. You did this. You didn't do that. Take it easy. Relax. What's the Ramak says, every Jew is one. We're all one. So if we're turning someone else off, or if we feel disconnected from someone, it's really for myself. That's really what it comes down to. I realize it's a problem I have with my own self. It's nothing to do with the other person. But too bad. So that's how we find the, get rid of the darkness and the foolishness. We start to have understanding, connection to Torah, connection to, and then so that brings kindness into the world. And when a person feels surrounded by kindness, everything is good for him. But if we're in this space of constriction, we're in the space where we're not connected, it's very, very hard. A person does not care about another person's possessions, another person's pain or suffering, difficulty. Said, how could you be connected to Hashem? Hashem cares so much. So we know we see that, it's true, but we need to be connected to that element, to what he wants us to be connected. That's what he said. You have to be kind. Doesn't matter. Don't say the Gemara says, don't say, well, Hashem, he does things that aren't so kind, too. So why can't I connect to that? That was stone. Stone was not so good. God didn't like stone. No, that's not the way. Because what he does has a reason for it. And everything fits in. But what a person does, he goes running after cruelty, it's a very big mistake. It's not so what he running wants. After running after cruelty is a big mistake. You can't make a philosophy out of cruelty.
What do you mean?
Stone made a philosophy out of cruelty. They held that because Hashem set up natural rules, you see, people think they were just stupid, vapid people. It's not true. It's a very deep philosophy. Hashem set natural rules, so when you give charity, you are ruining your karma. That's what they held. You're destroying your conduit from on high, because if God wanted to give the person, he would do so. The Greeks said the same thing. Why are you getting stuck? If God wanted to give people, what for? He would give them money. So why are you helping them? Don't you understand? You're just like throwing it out. God doesn't want them to have money. That's what the Romans, the Greeks, the Romans, they confronted Rabbi Akiva, I think was confronted also by Terence Rufus. Like, what are you? So God, he said, no, he wanted us to merit to give them. We should have the merit of helping them. So, but it's not true. So you distribute the wealth that way. But it's certainly not so. It's not true that it's not true that he doesn't want him to have money. It's just, it's going to be a little hard for him, that's all. And this way, people in Israel especially, learning, whatever, we get used to this like fact, you're just part of life, Hashem takes care of everything, but it takes time, you have to be patient, you have to be, have to wait. Hashem does it all. Oh, that's like this, and you have to do your best. You can't use this also to say, well, I need to work, because after all, God will take care of me. That's also not okay. You have to know where you're holding, you have to know who you are. It depends. Be real. Important to be real. So that was their way. So cruelty is not the way. There are many levels of cruelty in terms of scope. There are many, many levels. The Medrash says it's a terrible thing. If someone says, can you give me some money? Someone, right? That's it. This happens all the time. upstanding Jews, fine Jews, religious people, maybe religious people too, doesn't matter, whatever he's doing, whatever his religious observance may be, whatever his Torah knowledge may be, and a person, someone says, oh, can I have some money, right? So he could say, I don't have, he can give him a little. He says, why don't you get a job? The Medrash says, that's a terrible pgam, that's a terrible blemish. So he's asking for money, he's in dire straits now, he's humiliated now. You're not allowed to tell him to get a job. He said, that makes a big kitchen on you. That's an accusation against you. What's your problem? Who asked you? Maybe later, talk to him, maybe in a nice way, but you don't just like, someone's opening himself up like that, and you do this, that's terrible. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible blemish. You don't give him money, so it's not enough, he doesn't give you money, he also slaps in the face. So yeah, what do you do? What do you do to you? How do you know if he's holding, if he's not holding? On the other side, the Ramah says, we really have to have a lot of appreciation for the fakers, so they save us. Because if someone asks you for money, you have to give them. If you can afford, you have to give them at least something. You have to. So if you skip, it's a gigantic accusation, except there are fakers. So, well, maybe he's one of you thought he was a faker. Maybe he's a faker. What do you mean? I'm supposed to give money to buy drugs? Really? Probably not, right? I mean, it's not so good. Or to do who knows what? That's not supposed to give money for? Probably not. So he saves us. He simply helps us. You know, the Satmarov is so with Satmarov. Someone came to Satmarov. He poured out a terrible tale of woe. It's horrible. Ugh. He's got this child in the hospital. His wife's in the hospital. A hand and a hair. A whole terrible, terrible, terrible tale. Sounded like something like a horror story. So the Rav said, what can I help you? I'll turn it down for you. Maybe he said, no, I need money. I'm desperate. So the Satmarov, he used to like have his little grocery bags, you know, the little paper bags. Someone, one of his chassidim gave him a paper bag filled with money. So he took the bag, and he said, will this help you? He said, oh, yes, you saved me, thank you so much. He sort of like slipped out of there. 2 minutes later, the Gabbai comes in and said, I heard there was a faker here, he's a liar, he makes up these stories. He's just a pathological liar. So Satmarov said, wow, thank you Hashem, it's not truly a story, far with the money, you don't care. Take it, no problem. But that story really bothered him, such a Jew, suffering so much. Okay, good, he can use money, whatever, poor guy, well, down for him. But he didn't care about the money, you're helping another person, you try, you do what you can, you can't. So we have to go after kindness, not after cruelty. That's our job. And it's a very complicated, difficult thing to achieve, really. And that's why, you know, we remember it. It's all memory. It's all memory. It's money from Hashem. It's a bracha from Hashem. He's going to give more. He'll help till now. He's going to help from now. Yes, it's all nisim. It's just also that of nisim. It's all nisim. Hashem's done incredible things. I can't understand how. I don't even know how it all worked out. That is done. Look back and say, how did this work? This doesn't seem to work. I don't know how it worked. No idea. And it's opposite. Someone who comes and he thinks everything's going to be understood. I mean, it's famous that there was a guy who came as a doctor. He comes to, looks over a few hospitals. He said, I understand. People marry off their children here. They get apartments, right? He said, how am I supposed to, like, how do you, like, dollars and cents, how do you work it out? So he said, there's no really good way to answer that question. You just do your best and Hashem takes care of it, more or less. So again, I'm not advocating that this is great. You know, it's well known that the Beis Yisrael said, whenever you heard an ambulance, he said, Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov? Yeah. It's either, what do you think it is? Most likely, it's either some mother going to have a baby, or it's some wretched parent who had a heart attack because of the pressure of buying an apartment in the New Jerusalem. That's what he said to one another. So this is Mazel Tov one way or the other. But you could say he believed in buying out way out anywhere in the north. He had different places where you don't buy the expensive real estate. Make your own place somewhere not expensive. That was his way of looking at it. Then you make your own schools. Everything will be fine. We'll make a community. It'll be okay. You can't sit here on the, you know, it's a center, but like, how? So you have to figure out, where do you sit? What do you do? But there's no natural way to explain a lot of things in Eretz Yisrael, but we're just doing our best, waiting for Hashem to help us. So it's good to try to put a little light into things as we're waiting, and try to be as happy as we can, and work on being happy, and work on smiling, work on connecting to Hashem. The regular day when I go about my business, I go here, I go down the street, whatever I'm doing, I could try to think of learning, I could try to ask Hashem for help, I could try to, you know, connect. See, I'll finish mine. Maybe I don't even have to turn on, you know, maybe I'll stay connected to Hashem, I won't turn on the connection to the... Maybe limited, how am I, where am I, what am I, not so much, no, not been so much.
It's coming to the point where it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
If you want the news.
Well, that's if you're on the level. You pull out the Zohar or the Gemara and you see the news. But it's like, it's incredible, because once you go on the news, it already becomes a very big challenge not to go here and go there. I'm not even talking about bad places. I'm not talking about seeing things that are unseemly. That's a different problem. But even a person who's not going to see things unseemly, it's very hard. Very difficult. Not pushing. It's a fight. You know, speak to people. I heard about one guy, I don't know. He was a computer expert. He is. Not Jewish. And he said, I'm not producing because all day I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, like all this stuff, that's what I do. So he went to this this lady, she was a judo expert. And he said, I'm going to pay you a nice salary to make sure I do not go on any of these things. Twitter, all these things, I don't go. He was like independent, but he had a lot of work waiting. And he did fantastic work. I only go a particular amount of time and that's it. That's your job. She was a tough lady. Is, I think she's still working for him. And he said my output increased 3 times as much that month when she was watching, making sure I wasn't wasting my time. Like, it's come up 3 times as much. Alright, we need to remember Hashem. We need to be careful not to. You have to be connected, like Moshe Bria says. The connection is to remember to be connected to Hashem. You have to always, you know, if you're not connected, there's a problem, right? You have to connect to Hashem. We have to be connected, or there's a problem. Bring in the light and start to be happy. That's Hashem.
So Kislev was the time to do that?
Kislev was very much the time to do that, yes. Yes, there's another reason also, because Lamaisa, we, Chav Hei, we won. But Kislev was big fighting, and we fought against overwhelming odds. And we won. So now is the time when we can beat overwhelming odds. That's also why it's the last Chesima. It's the last, the final ceiling is Zos Hanukkah, the end of Hanukkah, and that starts Hanukkah, of course. That's already Tavis. But the final, we can, the whole month is the time when you wake yourself up. You're working with sleep now. You want to be sleeping on another level of sleep. I want to be sleeping like Rabbi sleeps, right? So somebody, so his sleep is like, we want to get to where he is, at least when he's asleep. I want, or whoever it may be, I don't want to sleep like this anymore. I might go through my life sleeping, but I don't have to be all the time sleeping. I can sort of go back, like the Rebbe story, go back and forth, you're somewhere else, you're here, so same
you
time.
You can be conscious and awake and sleeping.
Exactly. Precisely right. Because when you're sleeping on a totally different level. There's a bechina that's called sleep, where a person just lacks awareness. That's really what it comes down to. What is sleep? You lack awareness. That's why when you damage when you're sleeping, you're not really obligated if the damage wasn't there to begin with. Because I didn't know it was there. I didn't know what's up. I didn't realize, you know, you're going to put your silver candelabra right on the table next to me. I'm sleeping at night table. You know, I can knock it off. It broke. It's not my problem. I didn't know that. So unless you know there's going to be a damage. When you're asleep, you don't realize what happened, what's going to happen, what can happen. You don't know. That's a serious problem. So we're asleep. On the one hand, there's less judgment, but we have to sort of try to wake up. And waking up again doesn't mean one day you're going to be like, we're not going to every breath. I said, if I didn't have a breath that was totally new, I couldn't live. That doesn't happen from like totally deeply slumbering to getting to that every breath, another renewal, another connection. But we're working on it. We're talking about it. We're trying. We're yearning. And that's how you get to it. That's one of the major ways of being besimcha anyway, is to talk about simcha. That's what the Rebbe says. He said, if you speak about it, you're going to get it. You yearn for it. You speak about it, you're going to get it. He said, if you're not speaking about it, it's not even on your mind anymore. Like, who cares? Like, okay, yeah, the theory, I want lots of things. I also want $1 million. But I don't think about it too much. So there's no way you're going to get there. Is if you're going for the goal, you might make it. But if you don't think about it, there's no way you're going to get there. Hashem should help us have a different level of sleep at the very least.
There was a guy on the train this morning who started